ever think of the children in your life? How would you describe their childhood? 1300 648 222 or send me a text 0467 922 684. Childhood, idyllic, beautiful, safe. It's what we hope for all of our children. I know that's not the reality for everybody. I really want to know what life is like for our children and our young people right now. In 2021, have things settled down? That uncertainty that we saw last year. Are your children really starting to enjoy the school year? 1300 648 222 or send a text 0467 922 684. Are children today facing unique challenges we've never had to deal with before, particularly in the school space? Have they struggled during COVID, or have they thrived in a situation where they've gotten to have more time at home with their family? What is the mood right now that we've passed the intensive COVID space and we're recovering from that? 1300 648 222 to talk to me, or 0467 922 684 if you'd like to shoot through a text. Michael Elliott is the president of the Australian Primary Principals Association, and he's been noticing things aren't as great as we would hope for many of our children, with anxiety amongst students becoming an issue teachers are now struggling to deal with in the classrooms. Malcolm, good afternoon.
Hi Anna, how are you?
Yeah, I'm well, but I am a bit concerned. You're representing primary principals here. You're working with some very young children. I mean, how is anxiety presenting in our primary age kids?
Presents in a number of ways, almost as numerous as there are individuals in our schools, but it presents mainly in a sense that some children are reluctant to attend school. Some children are lacking in focus in their schooling when they do go along, and children are behaving in some uncharacteristic ways. Children suffering from anxiety may become more irritable, even very angry, and very, very difficult to manage. So it happens in, it is manifest in lots of different ways, including the child themselves presenting as being a sad young person.
Oh, you're breaking our hearts, Asavo. I mean, we need to talk about it, though. How significant a problem is this, Malcolm?
It's been running for a long time, unfortunately, Anna, that we've been aware of this. There's a survey coming out over the weekend and Monday about health and wellbeing in schools amongst school leaders. But part of what this survey has shown over the last decade or so has been that school leaders have become increasingly concerned about emerging issues in mental health for young people. And our association is particularly interested in primary school children, of course, and it's very concerning when we're seeing this emerging in our very young students. You know, at all ages, even from a very young, at kinder, prep, grade one.
So you're saying that these symptoms weren't as a result of last year's topsy-turvy year, that you've been seeing this issue become prevalent over many years?
Yes, yes. Previously, we'd have pointed to things like the confusion that social media has brought into our lives, particularly around what is a real relationship, what is it that we're seeing on social media, which is a place where there are heightened emotions and sometimes exaggerated representations of what real life actually is. That was one factor that we saw previously, but of course we're aware now of this background of concern about global warming, climate change and its impacts. We're also concerned now about other economic stressors that we see, which result in a thing that we sometimes refer to as toxic stress, that quite apart from what people might be experiencing in their lives around drought, it's the ongoingness, for example, affecting a rural environment. It's the ongoingness of this which creates a background of concern and worry, which is evident in the behaviour of parents, and then, of course, rubs off on children, quite understandably, not being critical of parents. But it shows us the difficulties that do arise as we're trying to raise a generation of youngsters, and many generations of youngsters, who are going to lead our nation forward, that we want them to be able to look forward to their lives with optimism and with real confidence, not with worry.
And kids bring, they just pick up everything. You could be hiding all of these issues from them as best you can as adults, can't you? But they still pick it up. They still know when something's off kilter.
Yes, they do. And you know, to be fair to parents, We did a survey of principals in November 2019, which showed up that school teachers are very concerned about dealing with anxiety in primary school age children, but also that parents are unsure about how to approach questions about anxiety for their children. And not to oversimplify nor to be critical, it's a really big issue for all of us. But we must adopt a positive stance about these things. We, as a nation and as a group of adults, we have got to curate what it is that we expose our children to, being mindful of their age and stage of development, but also being mindful that we must reach out to our neighbours and to our friends to provide support for each other. We've all got hopeful, optimistic futures. We all believe that as long as there's a problem to be solved, human beings can get together and solve that problem, through great political leadership, but also close grassroots support for each other. And as long as we approach things from that point of view, then there's every cause for everyone, no matter what their age, to be optimistic about the future.
It's a good way to think about it this afternoon. Michael Elliott's our guest on ABC Radio New South Wales. He's president of the Australian Primary Principals Association. So you mentioned that irritability, that reluctance to want to go to school. Can you talk about those signs that children are anxious? Because kids are also kids, and some days they don't want to do something that they used to love doing, and like it can be sort of hit and miss. So yeah, when does it actually become an issue?
It's when the behaviour becomes repeated quite understandably, parents can say, well, okay, this is starting to look like a pattern. But once upon a time, my child couldn't wait to bounce out of bed and go to school, but now they seem a bit reluctant. What's happening there? Now, then the next step is to make sure that as parents, we get in contact with the school and talk about that issue and talk about the way that the child's presenting. So that's a little indicator. But there may also be other indicators, including a tendency to sleeplessness at home. So the child may be presenting in certain ways at home, but not necessarily at school. So these are other things that we need to be able to talk over with our school teachers. But we also are saying as an association that while we always want to move towards the preventative, we're also concerned now that we don't have sufficient psychological support for school-aged children and families to help remedy the situation. Well, I work with some prominent psychologists, all of whom are completely in agreement. For most young people, psychological issues can be resolved in a really positive way. But what we need is timely, repeatable access to support for children so that the treatment can occur and positive ground can be made and that they can go on living positive lives. So that's a very, very big issue for us. Here, paying tribute to federal and state and territory governments around Australia where they're committing more money to psychological services. It's just that our psychological services are overrun.
I've been calling you Michael. I apologise, Malcolm. I'm not sure why I've been having that.
Right. I'm used to that.
Oh, no. Sorry. I'm having a Thursday, obviously.
Okay. My self-esteem's not all right.
Well, I wanted to publicly apologise for that mistake. Look, how are our teachers dealing with this? You say, obviously treatment is ultimately the end goal, but teachers are obviously having to deal with these moments day to day with different students in different moments in a classroom. I mean, what sort of pressure does that place on our teachers in knowing how to deal with that in the best way possible?
Well, the pressure comes in several directions for teachers. The first thing about a teacher is that they are doing the work because they really like children. So when they see a child being negatively impacted by psychological issues, that upsets them. They want to see the children happy. So there's that first level of emotional response. The second level is that one of the great things about schools is that it's specialised, programmed, educational support. The children are learning in schools via mediums that are specifically designed just for them. If the child is anxious and their attendance, for example, is affected, to take a simple example, then if the child's attendance goes from being, say, 95% for a school year to 80%, that might not sound on the face of it as being too bad. But when you think about that as being 4 days out of a week they go to school and they miss a fifth day, or they might miss an extended block of time, then multiply that by 3, 4, or 5 students in the class or even more whose attendance record is affected in this way, then it makes the programming almost impossible. So when we're trying to maintain cohesive, coherent educational programs for children, if they're not at school, that's very, very hard to maintain. And then at a more even focused level than that, is that the child's concentration comes and goes during the day, like most of us, at the best of times. But if they're distracted by feelings of worry, then that makes the situation even more unpredictable and much more difficult to deal with. So that there are, you know, three examples of the sorts of complexities that our teachers are dealing with. Not to forget that, as I said at the start of that little piece, that they like the children and they want to see the children do well.
Well, and they're connected to the kids and they see them every day, and, you know. Mm. So I guess if we think about then ultimately treatment, if there's already an issue, but that preventative rather than reactive, what sort of resources do you need in schools to make sure that we are not seeing the numbers of children with anxiety issues escalate, especially in primary schools?
There is an issue about resourcing in schools. Most school leaders would say that we just don't have the people to be able to deal with these issues, because each one of them takes time. Every child is different. Although we, as human beings, have remarkable similarities, we are remarkably dissimilar as individuals. So everybody's got their own story. Everybody needs help in a certain way. But on top of that, one of the things that I think that we're missing a little bit in Australia is a cohesive effort from families, the broader community, and schools. I think all of us are part of the broader community, and we'd all like to do well, and we'd all like this problem to be resolved. But it can only be resolved, if we can all come together. That means the media, people in business, people who are working for a living, people on farms. If the whole society of Australia can come together to present to our young people an optimistic future, rather than a future that is marked only by adversarial politics, for example, only by conflict that we see so much in the media, instead of an emphasis on saying human beings are resolving these problems, which prior to the pandemic was actually the case. There were very, very significant advances in medical well-being across the world, health and well-being across the world, in reductions in poverty, access to education for young women, for example, all of these things that improved. So if we can take this positive orientation as a whole community and really adopt and take to heart the idea that it does take a village, a global village, a national village, our own streets in our own suburbs to raise a child, then we're onto something. But we must stick with it, and this will take leadership at all levels, from everybody that's got a title as a leader down to people who are parents in families.
It's such a huge issue, but something that we can all play an active role in, by the sounds of it, Malcolm.
Yes, yes, indeed. We can, and it's a great opportunity for us all to adopt a positive stance in life, to really look forward to every child moving from one year to the next in their lives. One of my great colleagues, Ian Anderson, in Western Australia, says, with their eyes shining with the light of learning. That's just such a great phrase, their eyes shining with the light of learning. Then there's something that we can really grasp onto as a nation. We've got every reason to be optimistic here in our country. We do face issues, of course we do. But if we work together, then we can make this, we can overcome these problems, and we can show a really positive and optimistic way forward for our children.
Mm, and they'll be our future leaders, as you said too.
Yeah, they will be.
Well, look, Malcolm, it's been wonderful to talk to you about this issue this afternoon, and that you have such a positive outlook on what could be quite daunting. We have put in a call to the New South Wales Education Minister, Sarah Mitchell. Now, she is travelling this afternoon and she's out of range right now. However, we will be speaking with her on the program after 3 o'clock tomorrow. So we will continue the conversation then. Malcolm Elliott, thank you for bringing this to our attention today.
You're welcome, Anna. Thanks very much for having me on.
Great to talk to you. Malcolm Elliott, the President of the Australian Primary Principals Association. How's your young one doing? How have they settled into this year? Have you noticed any moments of anxiety? It's when those moments become repeated that Malcolm is telling us that it can become an issue. Let us know. Check in 1300 648 222 or on the text 0467 922 684.